This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You bitch!
No
idea how bad it gets.
Well,
I found these
Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Do you know how happy I am that we slept together?
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty. I can't stand it anymore.
Come on, girls. Let's go shopping.
I believe you were expecting me.
I'm not the one who's confused. You don't even know who you are.
Come out to your neighbors.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9. Alan, Gina, Conrad and Daniel taking you through for the next hour. Now, this evening, as we all scramble for online content like we never really have before, we're looking at the best and most queer and otherwise downright most campy web series available online. And we're asking, of course, what makes a good web series? Now, to help us with this question, we're joined by online content creator and producer of Iggy and Ace 5 Ever, Hannah No. Now, Iggy and Ace 5 Ever, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and we'll have to ask her when she comes on the program. It's a new Screen Australia-funded web series that explores friendship, addiction, and recovery through a queer lens. We're also revisiting our chat with Boaz Stark, the writer, director, and producer of The Horizon. Set in Sydney, The Horizon follows country boy Jake as he explores life and love in the big city. Now, that may not sound like a novel premise for a series, but it is. So it claims the most watched web series in the world, grossing over 80,000 views every day. This is, of course, an unsubstantiated claim, but certainly that is what they say. So big program tonight as we unpack this world of online web series.
I feel like I'm coming into this as a real novice. It's quite exciting. I feel like I'm here to learn. So educate me. I know what a web series is, but I fully confess I'm outing myself. I haven't watched many of them, much to the shame. And one of our very good friends of the show, Kylie Eddy, big web series fan. She's given me many recommendations. So I'm going to go back and explore those. But some of the ones that we're looking at tonight sound really great. I'm really looking forward to diving in.
Conrad, I'm with you. I'm exactly the same. So I'm along for the ride too.
Alan and I were actually talking just before we came on air as to where we don't really see ourselves as web series audience viewers. That's not how we often, you know, audience digest viewers? Content.
Is that a new phrase, Gina? Audience viewers?
Well, you know, it's been a long day in isolation.
It's been a long ISO month.
And if a small human enters today, it's because she couldn't go to sleep during this recording.
Well,
she's our special guest.
Remotely today again, aren't we? So we are rolling with the punches, and that's why I love this topic, because that's really what this program is about. You know, we've done a program in recent weeks about, you know, our top picks for online viewing when it comes to LGBTIQ cinema, and certainly we are a cinema program, but we're all in isolation, we're on lockdown, we're turning to our little screens more than we ever have before, and web series are great if you want an 8 to 10 minute episode of something that's easy to follow.
I'm with you, Daniel. I think that's one of the great things that I like about a web series is that they are brief and, you know, it keeps your attention. You've got your 8 minute 8-minute section and then another one and then another one. So, you know, it does while away the time.
The reason, though, that I'm not its primary audience when we look at these things is because there's a lot of crap online. And it is an accessible, but it's true. It's an accessible platform. Millions of, you know, bits of video are uploaded every day to platforms like YouTube. So it doesn't mean that what you're going to see is great. And I think, you know, we have a particular taste in film, and most of the web series I've seen is not because I've gone looking for them. It's because I've been directed to them because they are good content. It's not a platform I sit there and search all day, every day, or tune into like I would, you know, change a channel on free to air or something.
And that's right. You have to let somebody else pan for the gold. I mean, we're not out there fossicking. Someone else is looking for the gold, and we get the good oil, and then we're off and running.
Good. Well, that is what we are doing today, Alan. We are panning for gold, and we are showing what we've found. I really, you know, I'm not the primary audience for a web series either. I love a good
film. Yes, you are, Daniel.
You're young.
You're still a gen millennial thingy. What do you call them these days?
I don't even know. Yeah, and I'm going to let that one go to the keeper. The reason I love this topic is because web series actually are becoming more and more important, not just for the reasons that we've touched on. But, you know, Gina, you'll know about this. As a filmmaker, there's something invaluable about the experience of making a web series. And lots of web series writers, directors, producers, they use these series as a way to propel themselves into different platforms, whether it's TV, whether it's film. We see that with a series like The Horizon, for instance, the Australian series that we've already touched on, but also with a series like Eastsiders, which is now available on Netflix and has really propelled all of the actors in that series, including Constance Wu, to kind of new fame.
As a filmmaker, I mean, a lot of people are looking at this platform in a new way that they've never looked at before, because there have been some really critical examples like Julie Califf, who did Starting From Now, because what it does is it proves to, you know, funding bodies, it proves to big, you know, free-to-air or streaming platforms that here I have an audience and I'm going to bring the audience with me. It is a big risk to be given money to make a television series, and for most emerging practitioners, that's never going to happen. So online series, and if they're done well, you'll usually find they are stories that take risks, they push the envelope, you know, a fiction story, you know, storytelling, they're diverse. They're just really fresh stories that we don't see on other platforms. And if they get an audience, then yes, you see them transitioning to the bigger, you know, bigger budget kind of platforms. Things like, you know, The Catering Show, which, you know, everyone knows that episode with a Thermomix. Well, that made, you know, the success of the audience they were able to kind of gather on YouTube was something they were able to then get a show on the ABC. So it's, you know, there are some really good examples of it. And I think as storytellers, people should look at it, but only look at it for yourself if you yourself are someone who consumes that content. I think it's really, I think people take for granted how difficult it is to make content, to get an audience to keep coming back. It's not as cheap as people think. It can be, but you have to be really clever about it. But if you're not someone who knows that world and that content, I'd say you do your research before you even attempt to try and tell a story on that platform.
Well, that's why I'm looking forward to having Hannah on the program, because Hannah, of course, is a recipient of funding from Screen Australia and SBS On Demand. They've now channeled $65,000 into developing three new web series. And of course, one of the aims of this project is to, once these three web series have been developed, pick one to then fund further and produce a series that will be available on SBS On Demand. So, you know, Hannah's web series, Iggy and Ace Five Ever, is going to be just one of three series sharing in this funding, with a chance to be available on SBS On Demand. So she's going to be great to talk to have some insight into those issues that you've raised, Gina. So what are the constraints that filmmakers have to face when they produce web series, and why do they produce web series in the first place? I mean, I think web series are great from the perspective that we see web series pushing boundaries in ways that we just don't see cinema and TV pushing boundaries. And I think one really great example of that phenomena is Her Story, which is this web series from Jen Richards that I think is about 5 or 6 years old now, but started to put trans representation on our screens really before we were seeing nuanced and accurate representations on our big screens on cinema or on TV.
Well, Her Story is a really good example because, you know, it is a very low budget project. And I remember when Jen Richards, I remember reading when she first kind of was crafting this series, I think she had a budget of $10,000 in mind. In the end, with the people that she got on board, they had a budget of about $150,000. Sounds like a lot of money. It's not for 6 9-minute episodes. And if anyone's seen it, you'll see the quality of the production. But it's not just how beautiful it looks. I mean, it is a wonderfully executed and such an emotionally honest show. And that comes out of the script and that comes out of the authenticity of the creators telling their own stories. Nobody else could write those stories. They are stories coming from lived experience. It is, you know, it was nominated for an Emmy, but, you know, back then in 2015, we were still hearing casting people and filmmakers saying, oh, we can't find any trans or queer actors. And this kind of blew that out of the water to go, bullshit, calling it. Absolute myth, because in 2015, 80% of that crew and cast were trans or queer female talent.
Well, Jen Richard has been very vocal, actually, about advocating for trans actors to play trans roles. I mean, her voice was one of the loudest voices, I think, when we saw the Eddie Redmayne controversy around the Danish Girl. She was very vocal about saying, as she has, you know, been on the record many times, saying that cisgendered actors should not be playing trans roles, whether or not we believe that. I mean, it's significant that she was able to channel that voice into a narrative series available for anyone to watch anywhere in the world. That's one of the real pros of web series. You don't have to pay for it. They are generally more accessible, even though in some countries there will be restrictions to availability of online content. They are generally there on a platform that people can access. And they allow people to bring these stories, these nuanced, accurate representations into their homes.
Is this your first time at Les Meet?
I'm actually covering this for the LA Reader.
So listen, I want to write a piece on transgender women.
Jerry Springer's been on that for like decades.
What about that waitress?
Come on, Vi. Never join us. You have some boyfriend that none of us know about?
I'm Allie.
I'm Violet.
Hi. Vi.
You are the first trans woman I've ever met.
That you know of.
What do you mean?
You've probably met women who are trans who just didn't disclose to you.
I used to broadcast my team, tell my whole history before I even hit the first date.
So, tell me everything.
Everything. About what?
You.
All that ever did was to scare people away. They might have actually liked me.
When I'm with a man, I have no doubt about my womanhood. I mean, my body next to theirs is so obviously feminine, but next to, say...
Let's say me.
This whole time, some part of my mind has been noting how much bigger my hands are, or wondering if people are clocking my voice. It's hard to feel totally present with all of that.
All I ever wanted was for someone to see me. And then when someone tries, I'm terrified. It never gets easier for girls like us.
I don't know what to do.
Monsters.
Well, that was the trailer for Her Story, which is a web series that tells the stories of two transgender women living in Los Angeles as they struggle through the dating world there. We are, of course, spotlighting web series, the best, the most queer, the most campy web series available online this evening on Outtakes. Stay tuned. There's more coming up right after this.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where this evening, as we're all scrambling to look for new online content like we never really have before, we're looking at the best or most queer or otherwise most downright campy web series available online. Now, one series that is about to go into production is Iggy and Ace Five Ever. I'm going to have to check if I'm pronouncing that correctly, because we're speaking with the producer of that project now, Hannah No. Iggy and Ace Five Ever is going to be a new series that explores friendship, addiction, and recovery through a queer lens. It's about two gay alcoholic best mates who live, work, and play together. But after one of them decides to get sober, a rift develops between the two. So, you know, it sounds like a really, really interesting project. And clearly Screen Australia agree. They've now funded the project's development along with two other series as part of a $65,000 initiative with SBS. So we're really excited to speak with the producer of Iggy and Ace Five Ever, Hannah. No, Hannah, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good to be here.
Did I pronounce it? It is pronounced Iggy and Ace Five Ever. Is that right?
Yes, like forever, but one more.
Why? <Extra. laughs> where does that come from? Five Ever.
Yeah, I didn't realize it was an uncommon phrase. We didn't coin it or anything. It just floats around. But yeah.
Maybe we're just too old, Hannah.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I got it straight away, Hannah. Totes all over it.
Yep. Right. I'm quizzing you afterwards, Conrad.
Hannah, it's a great announcement to be getting the development funding with Screen Oz and SBS to kind of develop the series. But this started, your relationship with Screen Australia and this project started a little bit earlier with, was it Digital Originals, which was last year, which brought a whole bigger group of creatives. Can you talk us a little bit about that?
So they announced sort of a funding round to try to encourage underrepresented screenwriters to submit applications to like tell or get their stories told. And that was the, I guess, in collaboration with SBS, this Digital Originals initiative. Mm. And everyone who wanted to apply put in their applications, and from there they chose sort of the top 10 projects from all those submissions, and we were one of the 10. So in November, they held a workshop for the 10 groups and had the creators of Special on Netflix come and chat to us, which is another good queer web series. And they sort of workshopped our ideas, and then we went to Sydney again in February and pitched it formally. And then from there, it was the remaining three teams.
Well, because when we kind of read what they're kind of asking for in those projects, they're quite, you know, overt in saying they want stories that push the envelope, that take risks. And so clearly this is what your series is aiming to do. When it comes to this content, what is it that inspired this particular story to be told?
Well, AB and I have worked on a couple of things before, and we really like to make sort of comedies together. And we really wanted this project to sort of be accessible and entertain, but also if people are able to sort of take a look at their own alcohol consumption, then that would be, yeah, a benefit, I think.
And of course, we're all abstaining from alcohol during ISO. Yeah. Alcohol sales have plummeted, so I think you're ahead of the eight ball here, Hannah.
What's so amazing about this, Hannah, is that you've received funding from Screen Australia. Screen Australia, in collaboration with SBS On Demand, they're channeling, the figure is $65,000 into these three new projects. Screen Australia doesn't just hand out money. I mean, that's no small feat. Why do you think it is that in collaboration with SBS, Screen Australia is providing filmmakers funds for web series, and why do you think it is that web series are so important? And clearly Screen Australia is recognising web series as important here.
Yeah, I think they sit sort of in their own world of content. Like, I guess with this fast-paced day and age, people want to take like bite-sized amounts of information where they can, but in some ways as well it acts as like a talent escalator for people to be able to tell longer form content. So I think if you're jumping from like short form into web series, it's just that little bit more that you have to understand, like longer form narrative, and then going forward, wherever it goes from there, like serial dramas, feature films.
So what do you think then are some of the tricks to making a good web series? I mean, if you watch enough web series, you start to see some patterns in the making of web series. For instance, I think voiceovers are very, very common in web series because they're a way to tell a larger story more quickly. What are some other techniques, do you think, to producing really good online web series?
Yeah, I think you sort of have to be cautious about not trying to shovel in like something that's meant for something longer into the short form. I think if you can sort of manage what the story is and know very early on where you want to end up, how the best way to get there is going to be in 5-10 minutes per episode, however that may be. So it's sort of like bite-sized short films that follow the whole way through. I think that makes sense.
Hannah, I'm a big believer that the story kind of chooses the platform that it best lives on. You know, is it a short? Is it a feature? Is it, you know, is it a web series? With this story here, is this something you developed specifically for this initiative, specifically for a web series? Or is this something you're hoping possibly is going to be a proof of concept, something that is going to be bigger, you know, if you're able to kind of prove that you can bring that audience to this?
No, I think this was definitely always intended to be a web series. We're still sort of working out like the length of it, and I think that'll just fall naturally wherever it does once we get to writing it. But yeah, it was always for this sort of initiative and for this format. Yeah,
I love that you touched on the fact that this series is going to represent some of the issues around alcoholism, say. That's going to be a big theme in this series. I think that's great. Another clear theme that this series is going to touch on is queer life and the representation of gay people. How do you think web series have traditionally tackled that, if they can be reduced to a certain denominator? And how do you think a web series will allow you to tackle that theme differently to, say, a film or a TV show?
Wow, that's a hard-hitting question. I feel like maybe web series are skewed slightly younger in terms of audience, so maybe it's just going to find a different group of people.
How do you think web series will allow you to explore queer identity, and how do you think that that will be different from, say, the way you'd be able to do that with a film or a TV show?
I don't know. It's necessarily different in terms of like finding casting and finding the right people to be like involved. Talking specifically about alcoholism in the queer community, we wanted to sort of look at how it isn't the person on the street with like a brown paper bag, but it's also really like insipid in the culture, particularly I guess in the queer community. I think the statistic we found is that the ratio is like 2-to-1 of alcoholics in that sort of same age demographic to their heterosexual peers, and it's not something you see very often.
Hannah, your previous short film, Tribunal, was about an Iranian refugee seeking asylum in Australia on the basis that he's gay, and you're exploring queer characters with this series as well. What is it about telling queer stories that this medium seems to be in a way that other mediums can't do it? Just kind of building on what Daniel was saying about it being able to push things a little bit more. Is that the appeal for you, or is there other reasons why using this platform to tell these stories works better?
I'm still sort of finding my way in the filmmaking world and just like emerging and having finished like my master's. It's sort of where I naturally ended up and where I founded my best work to be. So I think longer term goals, 5-10 years, we'll chat again about the feature film.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Well, we'll hold to that, Hannah, when you're an Oscar winner. Talk us through this particular project. Well, we'll hold you to that, Hannah. We'll have you back on the program when you're an Oscar winner. But in respect of this project, talk us through the next step. So you've now got the funding for development. What happens next, and when do you think we can expect to see this series online?
Oh, well, nothing's guaranteed to go into production yet. So my friend A.B. Morrison, the writer, and I are going to, I guess, work really closely to try to get out sort of a series outline and a couple of scripts, and then hopefully if Screen Australia like us, they'll fund us more, and when COVID is over, we can shoot it, and maybe you'll be seeing it next year. Fingers crossed.
Well, we look forward to having you back on the program at that time, Hannah. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for joining us on Outtakes this evening.
Yes, thank you so much. It was actually quite fun.
Good.
Well, that was Hannah No, the producer of Iggy and Ace 5 Ever, which is a new web series that's about to go into production and is being funded by Screen Australia and SBS. We are, of course, talking all things web series this evening as we all scramble for new online content. Coming up next, we are going to be speaking with Boaz Stark, the writer, director and producer of The Horizon, which is billed as the most watched web series in the world. We're also going to be looking at some of our top web series recommendations, so stay tuned. There's more coming up right after this.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where all evening we've been looking at some of the best and most queer web series available to screen online. We've just spoken with Hannah No, who's the producer of Iggy and Ace 5 Ever, a new web series funded by Screen Australia. And coming up later in the program, we'll be speaking with Boaz Stark, who's the writer, director, and producer of The Horizon. But right now, we want to spotlight some really great web series that you can access anywhere in the world, really. And Jeannie, you've got a list there.
I do have a list, and knowing me, I have stuck to a list that is predominantly female-made or female-led. Not always female-led, but usually there is a female crew behind it, and mostly Australian. But the first one I'm going to touch on is actually a really old web series, which is now a podcast. It's called Just Between Us, and it's worth still checking out now. It is made by comedians Alison Raskin and Gabby Dunn. And on the surface of it, it looks like just two, you know, friends just blogging into the YouTube world, but it's actually not that at all. It's very clever. It is a very clever scripted show where they use the format and trope of the odd couple, with one of them playing a very innocent, vanilla, straight and super uptight role, and the other one, Gabby, playing a really proud, bisexual, unapologetic, militant feminist. And they kind of live together. And as it started, clearly they had no money because it was just them on a couch. But as it developed, it became a very different show. And now it is a podcast. It's got a huge following, over 700,000 subscribers from just the web series back in the early days. But it is quite funny as to how that odd couple then kind of transitions and how the series has changed. I did find a clip that, you know, of one of the series I'm hoping Conrad can play that for us. But just to show how much Alison and Gabby, you know, change as the series kind of progresses.
And here is a little taste of Just Between Us called Gay Alison.
Gabby, I have the best news. Gabby.
Go back to sleep.
It's 2 p.m.
What?
Something amazing happened.
Okay, tell me about it in the morning.
I met a girl I'm attracted to.
You better not be pranking me, Alison Beth Raskin, because when you prank people, you get hurt.
I'm not pranking you. I'm just no longer your one straight friend. I'm finally queer like everyone else.
First of all, you can't say that. And second of all, who is she?
Just some girl with tattoos.
I have tattoos! I'm a girl!
Oh my god, are you jealous?
No, I'm not jealous. I just don't understand why you woke me up from a nap so you could prank me.
I'm not pranking you, Gabby. I was sitting next to this girl at a coffee shop, and I found myself staring at her tan legs and her arms and that place where your neck meets your collarbone.
I have a collarbone? Is it too sharp for you?
No, they seem pretty dull.
Well, I don't understand why you're not attracted to me then. Because when you weren't attracted to any girls, it was fine. Whatever, you can't force sexuality. But now you're a raging lesbian and you're not interested in sleeping with me? This is unacceptable. I am very good at sex things.
Gabby, you're my best friend in the entire world. I wouldn't do anything to risk our friendship. The reason I'm not attracted to you has nothing to do with your body. It has to do with your hygiene, which isn't very good.
What?
You barely shower, you're covered in cat hair, and you have horrible coffee breath. I'm not sure if the last thing is hygiene or halitosis, but either way, I find it really repulsive.
So the only things I have to do for you to be attracted to me is bathe, stop hanging out with cats, and use mouthwash?
Yeah, at this point, those are the main things holding me back.
Can't believe this. You want me to completely change who I am?
No, it's just a couple of grooming habits.
Well, I won't do it. I ain't never gonna change for no woman.
I'm not asking you to change. I don't want to sleep with you.
Go have sex with your coffee shop girl instead.
Ew. I never said I wanted to have sex with her. I said I was attracted to her.
What do you think attracted means?
I don't know, that I like looking at something. Not that I want to touch it.
Well, I am glad that I didn't give up coffee and cats for you, Looney Tune.
She had huge tits.
Whatever, my next girlfriend's gonna have bangs.
So, gorgeous sample there of Just Between Us comedians Alison Raskin and Gabby Dunn. Highly recommend you go back and check out that web series. Another one I really wanted to bring to people's attention, only because I think it's one of the best short form pieces I've ever seen. And it was, I think it came out last year. It's actually an Australian web series called Robbie Hood. It's a 6x10 minute series. And now I think you can actually get it on the SBS platform. So you can find it there. Robbie Hood is basically the story of a very charismatic 13-year-old with a heart of gold who always gets in trouble with the law to do, you know, the right thing by, you know, setting right wrongs in his community. Setting Alice Springs, it's Robbie and a misfit of, you know, characters, including his two best friends, one which is one of the best tomboy characters I've seen on screen in a very long time. Alan, you watched a little bit of it. I got you to watch a little bit of it. What'd you think?
I did. I really, really enjoyed it. And the character you're referring to, she calls herself Blue Balls.
Yes.
Which I think is quite funny, seeing as though she's most likely a lesbian character. I don't know how she's going to give anyone blue balls, but you know, I like the irony there. And I think it's great representation because we have representation of Aboriginal Australia. And so you get a sense of what it's like to live outside the city limits of Alice Springs, and of course, you know, these are outsiders operating in this environment. So you know, for me, I really, really enjoyed seeing what it was like to be kickabout larrikins in Alice Springs with an Aboriginal background. So it was great.
And I think it's quite authentically made in community with community there, kind of inviting them and allowing them in to be telling that story. The writers are Dylan Rivers and Cody Bedford. Cody also wrote an episode for Mystery Road, which some of you might know. So it is a really gorgeous, bloody all heart series. Highly recommend people check out Robbie Hood.
One thing that I think there's always a misconception about web series, and it's changed obviously, is that they're usually like cheap and they may not have the best production values, and you know, we've debunked that already. But I watched the trailer for Robbie Hood, and I think the thing that I really took my breath away and thought it was amazing was it looks incredible. It's so beautifully shot, and it really captures that authentic Australia, like what you were talking about. And I think that is the really exciting thing, you know, when there's a little bit more money in there, obviously, and a bit of resources.
And it's not a lot more money.
Yeah, just a little bit, right?
A lot of talent behind the camera as well. And those actors that you're seeing on screen are not professional actors. They're from that community, I'm pretty sure. So, you know, that this is a launching pad for them as a possible new career going forward. They're just, oh.
Well, we see that with a lot of series. I mean, even just before, Hannah was talking about how Iggy and Ace Five Ever, she really wants that to be a launching pad for her. And the best example of the way that web series function as a kind of launching pad for their creators is, in my mind, Eastsiders, which is a 2012 American dark comedy web series created by Kit Williamson. And that really propelled Constance Wu into kind of popular domain. And Eastsiders is a really, you know, it's a, for me, it's a fraught web series. It is now available on Netflix of all places, but it started life on YouTube. And it tells the story of a couple, a gay couple, one of the partners cheats on his boyfriend, and then they kind of get back together, and then the other partner cheats on his boyfriend with somebody else, and they just, you know, it's just about this relationship and them trying to make it work but struggling. And it's set against the backdrop of LA. It's got a very kind of gay subculture, LA subculture feel to it. But I actually, you know, they made a few follow-up series which are available on Netflix, and I frankly found it too depressing to keep watching. By series two or three, it was not only depressive content-wise, but, you know, as they started to channel more and more dollars into this production, it became more superficial, and the kind of superficialness of the way, or superficiality, that's the word, of the way it was made started to mirror the kind of content of the story, but in an unwitting way. And I just found the whole thing, for me, that was an example of not only did this series thrust its makers into the popular spotlight, but as soon as they started channeling dollars into it, it lost its authenticity, it lost its raw edge, and it became depressing.
It's interesting, Daniel, that you say, you know, that it ended up on Netflix as well. We touched on queer representation of disabled characters or people with a disability last week, and one of the other web series that came out that ended up on Netflix was Special, about a gay man with cerebral palsy, again set in LA, and from what I read, it was produced before it went to Netflix. So for a lot of people, they said it retained, I guess, its web feeling before it actually got onto that platform. So it's interesting that Eastside has suffered from perhaps that injection of, you know, input from perhaps Netflix or whoever was helping, you know, supervise that show.
Two daytime Emmys. So, you know, it has been lauded critically, but for me, it just lost something. I think a good example of a web series that does have some financial backing, but also retains its kind of raw edge is The Hunting Season, which I actually really enjoyed. Stars Ben Bauer, who joined us on the program in 2017 to look at a new film that he'd done. Now, The Hunting Season is an LGBT-themed comedy drama that follows the romantic and sexual exploits of Alex, played by Bauer, and his small group of friends in New York City. It's based on a blog called The Great Cock Hunt and a 2008 novel published with the same name. And, you know, I think this is an example of something that does representation, but also is just, you know, what we want when we watch a web series, which is switch off, mind-numbing content that's slick, easy to watch, and a bit of a laugh.
And I think it's a bit more than that, Daniel. I think we get a bit of an eyeful as well, to be honest.
Are you complaining about that, Alan?
No, not complaining at all. I mean, like, it's eye candy for sure, but you know, what I particularly like about this is this represents gay culture, and it is very, very gay. I wouldn't say it was LGBT, but yeah, it's a fun, authentic season.
Well, one other series that represents gay culture is, of course, The Horizon. It's billed as the most watched web series of all time. Coming up after this, we are going to be speaking with Boaz Stark, the writer, director, and producer of The Horizon. So stay tuned. You're listening to Outtakes on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema on Joy 94.9, where all evening we've been exploring the wonderful world of web series, the best, the most queer, and the most campy web series available for you to view this lockdown. Now, we've looked at a number of series already on the program, but one series that we've looked at a few years ago now was The Horizon, which has been billed as the most viewed web series of all time. It claims that it amasses over 80,000 views every day. It's an Australian series created by Boaz Stark that tells the story of Jake, an 18-year-old innocent from Bega who arrives in Sydney to explore more than just the big city.
What can I get you, sweetie?
VB, thanks.
And my usual. You want to fuck me, don't you? Sure you do. You've never seen anything more glamorous in your life.
I've never seen anything like you before.
Anything? You think I'm a thing? Like I have no feeling?
I didn't mean it that way.
Relax, honey. I don't. And you must be the greenest thing ever to walk in this joint.
How could you tell?
Backpack for starters. And the deer caught in the headlight kind of look. Cute though.
So, where are you from?
From Vega.
Yeah? Got some cheese for me?
Good one.
Cut me some slack, honey. I haven't slept in 2 years. So, first time in the big smoke?
Oh, no, I've been a few times before, just not this part, though.
That'll be $5.
Oh, no, I'm just paying for my own, thanks.
Yeah, I know.
$5 for a beer.
Honey, we ain't no Vega no more. Put it on my tab.
That was a clip from The Horizon, and I think I speak for all of us in saying that the drag queen featured in that clip was terrifying.
Well, that's Wilma Bumhurt. I love that name.
Living up to her name.
And, the series, for me, it's like the web series gay equivalent of Neighbours or Home and Away. It's clearly gained traction overseas, but it does have this kind of quaint narrative at its heart. It is about a young boy who arrives in the big city from a small country town and about how he explores his identity. And you know, over a number of series now, I think they're up to series 8 or 9 or whatever it may be, you know, it started to incorporate a number of other subplots. We spoke with the creator of the web series, Boaz Stark, back in 2017 when he was preparing a new version of the series to be directed by Stefan Elliott. Here's a snippet of what Boaz had to say.
And we are very lucky to be speaking with Boaz Stark. Boaz, have I said it correctly?
No.
How do I pronounce it? Boaz.
Boaz. I know you want to say it like Boaz because of the OA, but it's Boaz.
Reminds me of a beer. That's why I want to say it that way. No, I'm kidding. How are you? Welcome to Outtakes.
Now, Boaz, you are the creator, writer, and director of The Horizon, which is, it's been billed as the most popular gay web series in the world. I mean, that's a pretty big title.
Yes, it's the most watched gay web series in the world, so I suppose that makes it the most popular, too.
I think there's a fair case for that, Boaz.
You can own that credit, absolutely. Now, you've come from not only writing this series, but how different was this from Sons and Daughters and Home and Away and Neighbours that some of our listeners may be a little bit more familiar
that
with?
That you have also been
writing. Yeah, you've written for.
First of all, thank you for aging me.
hey, I watched all that stuff too.
Sons and Daughters was my first writing job ever, and I was a child prodigy, so I was basically a teenager. How different is it? Oh, it's very different because, first of all, the content is a lot racier, and secondly, because it's a web series, I get to do things the way I want to do them. I don't have to sort of follow producers' whims. Yes, exactly, and conservative networks, your rules. And so we get to do things the way that we want them, and I get to write it the way I want to, which is emancipating.
Boaz, one question I wanted to start with. When you are writing for networks, the budget's kind of, it's there, it's set, it's done. Did I read somewhere correctly that when you started this series, you were looking at a budget of $3,000?
Yeah, it was crazy.
In 2009? Wow.
Yeah, we got a bit of money from Akon. I mean, it was a brand new concept at that stage, and they gave us a bit of seed money, which was fantastic. And we basically paid the caterers with that money. Everybody else worked for free. It was done by film students. Actors weren't paid. I wasn't paid to write the scripts. And it went viral. So despite the fact that the production values are super low, I like to think that people got emotionally engaged with the story and got into it that way.
Now, for people who don't know, Boaz, The Horizon, it's a web series based on the lives and the loves of gay men in Sydney. So it is a uniquely Australian story. And you yourself have said that it's really important to see our stories the way that we as Australians see them. So how are our stories as LGBT people different to perhaps web series coming out from elsewhere in the world?
I wouldn't call it a uniquely Australian story. It's a story that's set in Sydney, and so it kind of has an Australian vibe about it. But I think the reason why the show is so popular around the world is because we kind of tap into a universal gay culture, Western culture anyway. And I think that's why it's popular.
So how would you describe that universal gay culture?
Well, I think we deal with stories that people who aren't gay don't necessarily have to think about. I mean, just for instance, at the moment, we're exploring PEP, prep, I should say, in a storyline. And I found it a way to kind of make it resonate emotionally with the characters, but it's a prep story, and a lot of straight people haven't even heard about prep, let alone have storylines about it in their shows.
Or need to worry about it in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. It's very exciting. We're sponsored primarily by the AIDS Council of New South Wales, so the show does have a kind of like a gay men's health vibe through the storylines.
So Akon were with you from the beginning, clearly.
Yeah.
And you've obviously had other sponsors help sort of put the show together. Have you had any funding agencies kind of come to the party with this, or has it really been the community? So from your sponsors that I can see, it's usually mostly community sponsors.
Yes, we've got corporate sponsors like General Pants, and although I'd be careful now because if I sort of have to name all of them, so I'd be happy. But we do have corporate sponsorship, which is fantastic. Ansel just came on board, which is a natural fit because we do talk about safe sex, so it's great to be able to weave that brand into the show. But we have also had sponsorship from government agencies. Screen Australia helped us create a pilot, and they've just given us some money to do our post-production for season 7 and 8 with, which is a huge help because we are really, despite our popularity, we're still low budget, and we tend to get enough money to make the series and underpay everybody, but not to really thrive. So any sponsorship is really welcome.
It's interesting, you know, because we were speaking earlier in the program, in fact, with Graham Mason about the importance of online screen content. Graham says that it's really important because it is where we're seeing the boundaries being pushed in terms of representation. And I wonder, as someone doing the pushing of the boundaries, how you feel about that?
It is emancipating to be able to write stories based on people I know and situations that I've been in or have experienced through friends. Yeah, it's great. And in terms of responsibility of that, I think that, of course, because I'm writing it, my personal philosophies about, or morality about gay men and romantic situations kind of comes through. But I try to keep it balanced so that in terms of storylines and characters show different points of view and different types of characters so that everybody feels kind of, a lot of people feel represented. They see themselves on screen or people that they know and they can relate to it.
How do you think the production would be different if you had to produce this for a forum where you were writing for Neighbours, say, or for...
It wouldn't happen.
Or in fact...
if it was through like a commercial network or... first of all, I agree with Gina. It probably wouldn't happen. And in fact, we shot a pilot and we shopped it around, and it was probably even racier, a bit racier than the web series, and it hasn't sold yet. But it would be different in that I know that television executives tend to be quite conservative, and they want to appeal to the biggest market, which, and understandably so, and therefore they want to offend the least amount of people. And so I suppose, I assume I would be told to kind of make it a bit less racy.
Well, that was just part of our chat with Boaz Stark, the writer, director and creator of The Horizon. If you do want to take a listen to our full chat with Boaz, as well as a number of other interviews that we featured in that one episode, we also spoke with Graham Mason, the CEO of Screen Australia in that episode. Do head to joy.org.au/outtakes, where you can catch all of our podcasts. Now, over 200 Outtakes podcasts available there.
Well, I'd like to challenge the statistics that it's one of the best well-known web series and pit it up, Daniel, against the lesbian Australian web series starting from now. So it is a soap. So if you're not a soap fan, don't go and watch it. But if you want to see some good-looking lesbians getting it on over 5 seasons, starting from now actually has amassed over 130 million views and been seen over 230 countries. I mean, that platform that Julie kind of put together is now a case study that most people looking to make, you know, online web series, they go to basically try and redo what Julie did so many years ago. Can't say that it's worked for everyone who has attempted that. But look, in the last minutes that we've got left, I did want to recommend another Australian female-led and made web series called girl interpret it. Yes, I'm sneaking one in. Basically, the logline of this show is it's a nervous Mandarin interpreter. Lillian stumbles and stutters through bilingual web series of hectic cultural misunderstandings. It is made, written and directed by Grace Feng, who has drawn from her own life experience as a professional interpreter in Melbourne. It is very clever. My favourite episode is when the interpreter has to translate for an online sensation called Strawberry Crush as she live streams mukbang to a new audience. That's that thing where you stream yourself eating to an online audience. So it's a very funny episode. Highly recommend people.
That sounds fascinating, Gina.
It's gold. It's so clever. Please go and watch
there
it.
There was no sarcasm in that comment at all.
Well, look, there's no doubt that there's plenty of online content. We've only really just scraped the top of the iceberg this evening as we've looked at queer and camp and kind of the best web series available to you online. That's it for another week of Outtakes. Next week, it's back to cinema as we celebrate Radiothon. So do tune in next week for our big Radiothon extravaganza.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.